Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.
Thank you for downloading Beer Nuts for free on iTunes or from ChristopherMedia.net. Please make sure to rate Beer Nuts 5 stars on iTunes and help to tell others about Beer Nuts by leaving a comment. Thank you for following Beer Nuts on Twitter at Beer Nuts Podcast and on Instagram at Beer Nuts Podcast. Please like the Beer Nuts Podcast on Facebook to like and share Beer Nuts. If you'd like to donate to Beer Nuts, you can click on the PayPal button at ChristopherMedia.net. If you use Amazon.com, please click and bookmark the Amazon link at ChristopherMedia.net. It will not cost you any extra money, and you will help to support Beer Nuts. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media uses HostGator to host all of the shows produced by the Christopher Media Network. When you click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net and sign up for HostGator, you are helping to support Beer Nuts. TheBroBasket.com. Guys are tired of all those boring socks and ties. BroBasket is the answer to the age-old question, what do I get a guy? We know that choosing the perfect gift for a man is a difficult task, but not anymore. TheBroBasket.com is here to help. We all know men are hard to shop for, but what do guys actually like? Their favorite alcohol, that's what. It could be craft beer, wine, whiskey, scotch, or tequila. TheBroBasket.com will put it in a gift basket full of their favorite gear and goodies. You can customize your own BroBasket or choose from a variety of different BroBaskets, like the Ultimate Import Sampler, the Jack and Coke gift set, or the Junior Executive gift basket. Boozeless but still cool BroBaskets are also available. TheBroBasket.com gives you many shipping options to choose from, including Rush Delivery and Saturdays. 21 and over, please. State and local laws apply. Beer, wine, and liquor are not available for shipping in all states. You can help to support Christopher Media by clicking through the BroBasket.com banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Alcohol gift baskets. What men really want. Men used to be hard to shop for. TheBroBasket.com.
Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Welcome to Beer Nuts, a weekly excursion into the world of craft beer, brought to you by MichiganBeerGuide.com. And now, here are the Beer Nuts.
All right. Welcome back. Happy New Year. All that fun stuff. First show of 2017 for us. This week, a little twist going on, but we like to do that around here. There's a lot of beer, and we got to figure out ways to explore it, so... Well, to start first, my name is Chris. With me from MichiganBeerGuide.com is JR.
Happy New Year.
Dugout.
Happy New Year.
Uncle Pete, he's with us in spirit. He's going to make the show. Last second, couldn't make it. But he'll be back because he's Michigan-based now, right, guys?
Part of the time. He'll be here part of the time. He's got like three cities he's covering, so.
Hey, Uncle Pete moving and shaking. All right, so this episode... Dugout, it is an idea that he had. We're going to let you kind of expound on what we're doing here today, Doug.
All right. Well, you've heard the saying, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Yes, you can.
Oh, absolutely you can.
That's what this episode's going to be about.
That's the basis of the show. I've been seeing a lot lately. It's in a lot of breweries are kind of feeling the pinch of all the competition around the different styles, the new tastes associated with craft beer, and quite a few have woken up and said, if we don't catch this, we're gonna die. So that's sort of what the show is about. It's about old dogs, you know, older craft brewers, older brewers in general, putting out some new beers that sort of follow what's going on in the marketplace with craft beer.
Yeah,
yep, you got to keep up with the Joneses.
Evolve or die. Isn't that kind of a rule of business? Kind of an unspoken rule?
That's pretty much it, yep.
So you have seen a lot of brewers that, you know, your good old mainstays that have been around a long, long time, and like your Sierra Nevadas, your Sam Adams, your Stones. A lot of those breweries have lived and, you know, had the same beers for so long, and now there's such an influx of, over 5,000 breweries in the United States now, as of the end of last year, and a lot of new styles that have really taken the nation by storm, particularly with the IPAs. One publication I read recently calls them the New Wave IPAs. A lot more sophisticated hop mixes, and you got your New England styles, your West Coast styles. So what these guys have done, their marketing departments realize, we can't just continue to make these same olds that we've, flagships that they've had for years. And don't get me wrong, they're still on the shelves, but They have expanded their horizons, come out with some new and interesting beers to stay relevant in the market.
Oh, I will tell
you.
So
that's pretty much what it's about tonight.
You guys have rubbed off on me. And I mean this in the nicest way possible, but now when, if the option is only fizzy yellow beer, like, I'll have a water. Like, it's really, I've kind of just turned, really, that's all you got? Yeah, I'll have a Coke.
Well, and this episode won't be one of those where we have a bunch of whales or iconic, you know, hard-to-get stuff. This is stuff that we expect you to be able to go to the grocery store and find, or at least breweries are represented there. Maybe not all these newer extensions are available in every outlet, but these should be pretty easy to find, the beers that we're going to taste tonight. So this is, you know, I always brought that example when I first moved here and I went to the movies and there was Bud, Miller, Coors, Heineken, and then all of a sudden my eyes lit up when I saw a two-hearted ale tap. Because here in Michigan, that is like such a mainstay that, you know, there's more and more of those times when you go to a, you know, somewhere like a ballpark or somewhere. And it used to be, like you said, I'll just have a water or a Diet Coke or something. But now you're finding more and more places are offering something that's decent. And I think, Chris, before the show, we were talking about Sam Adams, one being that, you know, at the very least, you can usually find a Sam Adams beer, and that's a great thing.
Yeah, when I travel, Doug, you're in the traveling club, too. I mean, sometimes you'll find yourself at a place with maybe some of the shorter beer lists or no beer list or three taps.
Or a 90s beer list.
Yeah. And, you know, Sam Adams for me is usually something I can fish out where you can get a decent beer. It's considered a big brand. But, I mean, when I was in high school and stuff, I mean, that stayed into a whole lot of beer about in high school because that's wrong and illegal, right, guys? But Sam Adams was just coming out, and that kind of was their rep, as Sam Adams was kind of like, ooh, what's that fancy beer? You know, and it really, in my mind, it's kind of the first craft brewery I ever knew about. And now that it's been around for a while, it gets kind of short shrift. And like I said, for me, they seem to be a brand where you can fish out something at your local watering hole or your stop on the road. If they don't have the longer beer list, Sam Adams will usually have something that can at least for me, that will pass my rigorous standards, so to speak.
All right, well, all this beer talk's making me thirsty, so let's invite our listeners, as we always do, please kick back, relax, open up a cold one. And again, there's always room for you at our table, whether you're new to the craft beer scene and still drinking fizzy yellow stuff, or whether you're a sophisticated connoisseur. You know, there's always room at our table for you. So cheers, everybody. I'm going to pour my first beer, and I'm going to start the show off with one of the iconic original craft breweries before craft beer exploded. Sierra Nevada, out of Chico, California, and now Mills River, North Carolina, second brewery. And fortunate to have tried Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, the flagship, probably 25, 30 years ago, back in the day when it was one of the only craft beers available on shelves. And that's kind of the old dog, although it is still enjoying very good sales. This is kind of a spinoff that's evolved through the years, through Sierra Nevada's innovation. And this particular beer is called Tropical Torpedo, Tropical IPA. There is a beer that is more hoppy and a little bit stronger than Pale Ale called Torpedo. That's more of a hop bomb than the original Pale Ale. So that's kind of the evolution. You got, for long, many years, it was the Pale Ale. Then they came out with Torpedo 5-10 years ago. Not sure of the history. And now this year, for the first time, they have introduced Tropical Torpedo. So, without further ado, I just poured this. It's got a nice, really nice, thin, white, healthy head. And tons of lacing on the glass. It's like sticky. Which, that's promising. So, I am getting like a tropical fruit, kind of like your orange mango-ish hop aroma. So, It makes me really want to take a sip, so I'm going to do that now. And that it's delicious, very easy to drink. It starts out with those tropical fruit kind of burst in your mouth with some tropical fruit, some pineapple, mango, orange. Very pleasant and light, not overbearing. And then the hops kick in and take over, and you get a nice pleasant bitter hop finish, not like a kick you in the butt one, but just a milder but pronounced hop finish. So I'm going to read from the label a little bit about this beer. It says, inspired by the island life, we created an IPA completely disconnected from the mainland. We used our one-of-a-kind hop torpedo to deliver an intense rush of hop flavor and the lush aromas of mango, papaya, and passion fruit with every sip. Enjoy our tropical twist on the American IPA. So I wish you guys could be here to taste it. It's very, very pleasant, very easy to drink. It would be really good for maybe somebody like Chris at the beginning when we first started recording episodes and you didn't care for an IPA. This would have been a good kind of a starter IPA. But it does have a nice bitter hop finish at the end, so that might have scared you off back in those days. But certainly one of the more easy to drink in a good way. We usually drink a little bit more eclectic and local brands and stuff, but this is right up there, very very pleasant.
Oh, I walk by this all the time. I'm going to stop doing that.
I'm very much enjoying it, and it's really growing on me. It almost reminds me, in a way, of maybe a kinder, gentler Arctic Panzerwolf from Three Floyds. Kind of got that same, you know, like I said, a kinder, gentler version of that, because that's a double IPA that's much stronger. But this is 6.7%, so it's got a little bit of bite to it, but not too much. It's very, very pleasant. And I give it a good rating. I give it a 4 stars.
I tell you, the Celebration Ale has been pretty regular in this house for about the last month. We are going to keep buying it and drinking it until we can't find it anymore. So
that's a great brew. And I have an article I'd like to, you know, take a few bits and pieces of. It's from Beer Street Journal that did an article on this. It says, New Addiction, Sierra Nevada Tropical Torpedo. So apparently they like it too. And it says, according to Sierra Nevada founder Ken Grossman, innovation is part of our DNA. There's a lot of truth in that statement. Sierra Nevada is one of a handful of American breweries responsible for putting hoppy beer on the map thanks to Torpedo IPA. Style has dominated sales in the craft segment for years now. Recognizing the shift in tastes among American drinkers, the brewery has released a new take on their classic, Sierra Nevada Tropical Torpedo. So I don't want to be reading all here, but there's another beer that they came up with, a pale ale called Sidecar Orange Pale Ale. It says, unlike the Sidecar Orange Pale Ale, Tropical Torpedo relies entirely on the dry hop for the fruity flavor. Whereas I think the Sidecar one actually has fruit in it. This is all hop fruit. The fruit flavor comes from the hops, which is good. It's in, little bit of a quote from the guy reviewing it, Brian Grossman. The rush of hop flavor and lush aromas of mango, papaya, and passion fruit awaken your senses with our most adventurous IPA yet. And that's from the Sierra Nevada brewer, Brian Grossman. So it says, the hops in here are Amarillo, Mosaic, Citra, El Dorado, and Comet. Not sure I ever heard of Comet hops. Two-row pale malt and Munich and honey. And it just debuted in January, so it's brand new on the market, 6.7%, and 55 IBUs. So I highly recommend this. It's good to know that, you know, these breweries are, you know, rolling with the flow and staying relevant by continuing to think outside the box and go where the craft beer consumer wants to go. So good job, Sierra Nevada. And I can't wait to try the pale ale. Uncle Pete actually gave me one of those, and I haven't tried it yet. So thank you for that, Uncle Pete. That's the Sidecar Orange Pale Ale, which I believe does have fruit in it. So I'll be sure and sample that at a later time. But, well, cheers, guys. You must be getting thirsty thinking about this. So why don't somebody else share one of your beers?
Oh, I went ahead. So I guess I'll get going with mine right now. You heard me laud Sam Adams at the beginning of the show. So guess what? Surprise, I'm doing Sam Adams beer. Maybe you guys have seen, they have their Rebel IPA brands out in the stores. I know probably the last year I've started seeing these things pop up a lot. Maybe a year and a half they were, you know, here and there, but it seems the last year they're everywhere. And this, you know, I've gotten in the mindset now of I don't want to be stuck with a six-pack of something I don't like. So this was a perfect opportunity just for me to go to my local grocery store, to Kroger, and I got a variety pack, and one of the ones I picked out was the Rebel Grapefruit IPA, 6.3% ABV, 52 IBUs, bottle said it is ale brewed with grapefruit peel and grapefruit juice and natural flavor added. I already poured it. I mean, it's as advertised as far as the smell goes. I was expecting, maybe just because I go out to the West Coast a lot and I exposed to West Coast IPA style, I was expecting a lot more grapefruit on the aroma. I mean, it's there, but it's not overpowering. I guess maybe I was expecting some kind of grapefruit bomb. The lacing on the glass is pretty indicative to how the mouthfeel is. I mean, we're right in the middle. We're not too light. We're not too heavy. And then once you taste it, I mean, it is... I'm going to taste it just because it's so delicious. I mean, it is all grapefruit. It is grapefruit in front. It is grapefruit in back. If you're not a fan of grapefruit, you will not like this beer. But, too, it now really does remind me of West Coast IPA style as far as the flavor goes. It's a tiny bit hazy, but as far as color goes, you can see right through it. And now, as far as, I mean, I'm glad we did this show because tonight, now I know, in case I'm ever in a situation where I might find myself with a limited beer selection, I'm going to pick myself up a six-pack of these. Sam Adams, Rebel Grapefruit IPA. Good for them.
Well, Samuel Adams has definitely evolved. I can remember not very long ago where Jim Cook, who's the pioneer of craft beer industry, has done arguably more than anyone in growing the category and educating people on better beers. But he was adamant against any type of very hoppy beers for a long time. You know, he was into the more the lagers that weren't quite as hoppy. Not necessarily malt bombs, but he was, for a long time, he fought it. But like anybody, you know, that's where the market's gone. And I give them credit. He finally yielded to the demand, and now they are brewing some nice, you know, the Rebel IPA is really no slouch either. You know, if, unfortunately, you know, a lot of your accomplished beer drinkers, you know, they don't give Sam Adams the time of day anymore. Which really isn't fair because, you know, they have evolved with the times and they have been creative and innovative. And one of the great beers I love that they've come out with recently in the last year was the Nitro line, where they have it's particularly the coffee stout. The Nitro coffee stout is really good. So,
well, and yeah. They also put out that there was a fresh IPA, correct? Like a double IPA that had
a 14-day
shelf life.
Yeah, it was kind of like the Enjoy By that Stone puts out. It was a similar thing where it hit the shelves and it was gone because they very limited and they rushed it to market while it was fresh, which is a great thing. Yeah, so, you know, kudos to them for finally, you know, thinking outside their box and you know, against what they originally thought. they're now brewing some really solid hoppy beers. I actually have another one of their beers that I could go into, although I'm still finishing my Sierra Nevada beer. So I don't know, Doug Out, you want to go to one, and then we'll come back to my Sam Adams selection?
Yeah. All right. I have Stone Brewery's The Ripper, or it's not called The Ripper, it's just called Ripper. And it is a... it says on the can, a rip and swell of juicy hops, San Diego Pale Ale. It's at 5.7% alcohol, and I don't see the IBUs on the can. And I mean, there's a lot of writing on the can, but it's really small, and I'm not even going to attempt to read it.
I can do that if you want.
Okay, yeah.
After you're done.
Yeah, let me.
I have a can of that too, and so very happy that I can drink it with you.
Well, this is my fourth one out of the six pack. Not tonight, but
that's a good thing. That means
I bought this six pack earlier in the week, and I've been toting it around in the car with me, just so I don't feel pressure to have to stop somewhere and get a beer before I check into my hotel or anything like that. So. Yeah, so this is my my fourth one. It pours a it's surprising because as a pale ale, in my opinion, it runs a bit dark. It's more like a light copper color, and it's got a really nice lacing to it, nice thick fluffy head on it, and the nose you get some kind of biscuit malt, but mainly a lot of tropical fruit, citrus. And you can smell the citrus right when you pop the can open. And it really some fresh stuff, too. As far as flavor goes, I'd say it's pretty much on right in line with the aroma. It's got a nice little bit of malt on it, but it's quickly overtaken by some really juicy hops. Very floral and then kind of like pine needles as well in the finish. But outstanding beer. I mean, if you see this, I would definitely recommend it. At 5.7, it runs what's almost close to being considered session beer now. So it's not bad to have around the house, and you just need a little bit of a beer, then there it is.
Yeah, fantastic, man. I agree with you when you said, when I poured it, I was shocked how dark it is. You can see through it, but it's a very deep copper. Like copper was a perfect. It's a dark, see-through copper, nice and clear. Really, really healthy head on it. But it's got a nice, juicy flavor to it.
Well, and the thing about Stone is, they not too long ago discontinued doing a few of their beers. A few of their long-term mainstay beers were discontinued. So it's nice to see them put some effort into new product. I'm hoping this is available year-round. This could easily be a go-to beer for me.
Yes, it is. It's under year-round release. So, yeah, their pale ale was discontinued. And I think one of their IPAs was either I think they did a 2.0 or something. But, they've kind of, again, they realize, we can't just do the same thing over and over. The craft beer consumer's looking for variety and, they're putting excitement into this. And fortunately, I had trouble reading the can too, but I'm on their website and it does have the same passage of the can in actually print that I can read. So if you'd like, I'll read this. It says, "A ripping swell of juicy hops, perfect conditions for a pale. When it came time to creating Ripper, we drew inspiration from the coastal surf cultures of SoCal and Oz. Sourcing classic Cascade from the Pacific Northwest and Australian Galaxy hops from, yes, Australia, we made a beer both lovers of frothy peaks and hoppy green buds will be stoked about. At the same time, we stayed true to our San Diego roots by pushing the hop boundaries of this style. While some might think it lingers on an edge far closer to an IPA with the all dry hop flavor and aroma, it's actually right in line with the current day interpretation of a West Coast pale ale. Ours just so happens to have an Aussie accent that's cascading with a juicy amount of grapefruit and passion fruit hoppiness. So veg out or venture out. Either way, rip one open and taste this awesome golden nectar." And it's a, man, it's a delicious beer, 5.7%. That is sessionable. It comes in cans. Yeah, this could easily be a go-to beer
I'm really enjoying it. It's, body-wise, it's for a pale. It's got some pretty decent amount of body to it, but it's not overpowering in body sense.
I'm a big fan of Galaxy hops, and I didn't really recognize that this had Galaxy hops, but it's delightful. And I just tasted it alongside the Sierra Nevada, the Tropical Torpedo, and they're both really easy to drink and similar in some ways, but this actually, I think, is not as strong, but it has a stronger flavor. if that makes sense. But both are great. Both are pleasantly surprised, because going into this, I had no idea what to expect. And the old dogs are definitely being taught some new tricks, and we're the beneficiaries of that.
Yes, we are. It's nice to know that there are, it's kind of restating a point, but there are commercially, that there are accessible beers from commercial breweries if you are into more than just the yellow fizzy beers. It's heartening. It's they're paying attention. That's the other good thing. You know, I'm sure sales of NASCAR beer have probably been down in the last 5 years. I don't know who coined that term, but it's I like that term.
Well, yeah, and as long as we're talking about this beer, San Diego Pale Ale, I have to mention, a little bit off topic here, but I'm sure there's a lot of sports and football fans out there, and just today it was sadly announced that the San Diego Chargers are leaving San Diego, and boy, I'm really disappointed. I'm a Philadelphia Eagles fan, as many of you know, and I was planning on the Eagles play the Chargers next year on the road, and I was all excited. One of my favorite cities to ever visit, you know, with all the great breweries and everything, and I was all set. That was going to be my away game, road trip, treat myself, and, you know, now I got to go to Carson, California, really, to a 30,000-seat soccer stadium, so I don't know how that's going to play out. Maybe I'll just go to Vegas instead and watch it. So, sad day for San Diego football fans. But, you know, it's the reality of today, the business climate.
Go from zero to two teams in like a year.
And the thing about it is, no one in L.A. wants the Chargers.
Yeah, they don't appreciate it. They're
not fans of them.
They're not an NFL town. They're just not.
And everybody was stoked when the Rams came back, and then when they started losing games, you know, now they're the Lambs again.
Yeah.
So you already have one team there that people have lost interest in, and now you're going to bring, you know, it's really a sad thing that they couldn't figure out how to get a stadium built in San Diego. But
and if the deal falls through, three, because you'll have the Raiders moving to L.A., but they're supposedly trying to go to Vegas. But
it's not here nor determined. There. I have a friend that lives in San Diego, a good friend that I did business with in Las Vegas that has season tickets to the Chargers. And I'm going to tell him I'm still coming. If your invitation is still open, I'm still coming to San Diego. I don't even care if we go to the stadium. We'll watch the game on TV or whatever. Because half the fun of going there is all the great beer and the great breweries in the San Diego. I mean, that is one hell of a beer town.
All right. Are we done with the Ripper?
I'm not, as far as drinking it, but I guess the show must go on. So
the review is done, but there's still beer in the glass, is what JR is saying.
Oh, I've got, I still have two glasses with beer in it. So if somebody wants to go next, Christopher, why don't you go next?
Oh wait, I got to empty a glass here. Hold on.
Well, hey, while we're in between beers here, I wanted to do a shout out to our MVF or MVL. I don't know what you want to call it. Most valuable listener, most valuable fan, Greg Schmidt, who has actually met up with me, and I forget what beer I gave him. Some, I think it was a Heady Topper. I'm not sure which one, but Greg messages me often, and is a big fan of our show. And when the weather's warm, he takes care of a golf course in the Dearborn Heights area. So just a shout out to Greg. Greg, I think I promised you a focal banger a long time ago, and haven't met up with you for that. So we might have to renegotiate what you're going to get, but we'll be sure and make that right with you, bud. Thanks for listening, and look forward to I would love to have him on the show. Don't you guys think that would be cool?
Yeah.
Sure.
So I think, Greg, this is your open invitation. We're going to contact you, and we're going to just have you join us, because I think
you can
become a beer nut.
So all right.
just always cool to interact with our listeners. And we're working on getting new glasses, so you can win this glass. And we're going to have some Beer Nuts podcast glasses very soon. So yes. Stay tuned for that.
All right.
So, Chris, are you ready to crack open another beer?
I am. I already have, and I poured it. What do I have? So, Old Dog, New Tricks. It's kind of a faux craft brewery, but Blue Moon. It just because it's folk craft, it's made in Denver. When I took the Coors Brewery tour, did like 3 years ago, Blue Moon's made in Denver, so hate to disappoint you guys if you really think it's still made in Belgium. But, or whoever was, they've been getting kind of froggy with their offerings lately. You've been starting to see a lot more than your typical Blue Moon in the beer section. And they did something that caught my eye lately that I've been wanting to try, and this episode is a perfect opportunity for it, because, again, what if it's not that great? I don't want six of them. But Blue Moon is his limited-release cappuccino oatmeal stout. Stout brewed with oats and cocoa with decaffeinated coffee. Oh, boo. Decaffeinated. All right.
Oh, man.
Blasphemy.
Strike one. All right. All right. But we pour it, and I looked at the head. The head looks a little thinner than what I'm used to for stouts. The head looked like it was a lot more... thinner, a lot more bubblier. The bubbles are a lot bigger, I should say, than perhaps that you're used to. Maybe your traditional stouts. But you look at the lightning on the lacing on the glass. It's sticking to the side of the glass, and for a stout, that's a good sign. Let's give in traditional stout form, it's black. There's no light getting through this on the nose there. You're getting a little bit of chocolate, a tiny bit of coffee. Let's give it a sip. Oh wow, not bad, Blue Moon. Not bad. It's kind of got a thicker mouthfeel, and the coffee and the chocolate really come through. It's chocolate in front, coffee in back. Pleasantly surprising. Wow. Yeah. All right. Good job, Blue Moon. I won't run away from this. Let's see if we can get an ABV on this. Nothing on the... Oh, 5.9.
I've heard good things about this beer from other people with unbiased reviews. So I'm glad that you enjoy it. You know what? I mean, we've been pretty tough on some of these macro brewers, but at the end of the day, you know, we've had this discussion before. Some people, you know, they won't touch them just because of who their ownership are. But at the end of the day, a good beer is a good beer. And, again, there is always going to be those situations where you're at a place that has very limited selection. And if we can get this a beer like this in, like, a mainstream bar that might only have four taps and the other three are, you know, fizzy yellow, all this tastes the same, then, hey, not a bad thing. More places to get more good beer, right?
Absolutely.
So let's take it for what it's worth. You know, quality of the beer is really what should matter to people. I know that there's always people that they will never drink anything that owned by Anheuser-Busch InBev. They never drink anything owned by Miller Coors. But some of this stuff, it really is pretty decent beer. And, you know, there's some really good beers under the ABI umbrella, too, that... You know, we've had this debate several times on the show. The quality of the beer is what matters to me, and I'm glad that you're enjoying that beer, and you're not the first person to tell me it's a good one.
Yeah, this is two beers tonight that are pleasant surprises from big old macro brewery, so to speak.
Well, I'm just finishing this Ripper, man. That's really a treat. Pretty good, you know. I'm used to drinking stuff that's a little stronger. It's about half of Doug's ABV, but... hey,
well, you know the one I got coming up, yeah.
But then again, Doug said he's drank four of these this week, so, you know, if it wasn't any good, he wouldn't have drank the other three, so... So, we're discovering that there's some good stuff out there that a lot of people are probably walking by, so... You know, maybe some people should consider picking some of these up. All right, well, I'm going to go. We talked a little bit about Sam Adams earlier, and I picked up a beer called Hopscape. It's a wheat ale brewed with West Coast hops, and it's from the Boston Beer Company, Sam Adams. And I am very anxious to try this. So
I also have one poured, so I can sample it with you.
All right. So Hopscape, here it is. Nice. It's got a hazy appearance to it. You know, which makes sense. It's a wheat beer. Wheat ale, I guess. Wheat ale brewed with West Coast hops. So it's kind of interesting. Normally, I would, like, run away from a wheat beer unless it was, like, Weihenstephaner, you know, a traditional, authentic German. But I'm keeping an open mind here. So I poured it. It actually looks kind of like a New England style IPA, that hazy look to it, which some of those New England hoppy beers have wheat in it. So it's a light, kind of a murky light brown, like a yellowish brown, murky. Pretty good head on this thing. Pretty solid. Some good bubbles to it. Not really getting a big, strong aroma like I thought I would get. But let's see. First thing I'm noticing is, for a wheat ale, it's got a pretty nice nice body to it. Wonder if there's oats in this. I'm getting a nice mouthfeel to it. You know, a lot of carbonation. It's not like a thin. It's actually pretty pleasant. It doesn't have like those tropical fruit flavors like the other ones did. It's more like piney.
Yeah,
with some citrus. A lot of pine. Like, you know, it's more like that traditional West Coast pine and citrus, which is not a bad thing at all. So I didn't want to read this until I tasted it. So I'm going to pull this article up that I had queued up. It says, Samuel Adams Hopscape, a hoppy American wheat ale slated for January, is hitting shelves. The brewery has two new seasonals headed to shelves over the next few months. The first, Hopscape. The base beer is an American wheat ale brewed with four bold and juicy hops, Chinook, Centennial, Zeus, and Citra. The result is a soft wheat ale with strong notes of pine and citrus. The citrusy, piney, and resinous notes that the hops contribute to Samuel Adams' Hopscape make it the perfect pairing for spicy foods, while its crisp wheat character balances the spice. Available starting in January in 12-ounce bottles, cans, and draft. Availability, seasonal release. Available in bottles and cans. 5.5% ABV and 30 IBUs. So, yeah, this is a little curtailed. It's kind of like a West Coast, I guess. Well, it says wheat ale, but it reminds me kind of like a really scaled back, a West Coast IPA only, you know, IPA light maybe. Because it is, it's not as strong and it doesn't have, I mean, it's 30 IBUs, so. Not a bad thing, but it's just a lighter, easy. It's an easy drinker. It's kind of head scratching to me why they'd release this in January. This would be a good June beer, in my opinion. Nice, easy to drink, you know. But you know, I will say that it has that nice, soft, you know, mouthfeel to it. So, you say you have one of these, Chris?
Yeah,
let's get your take.
My take on it is, if someone's just starting to get into craft beer, give them one of these. It's better than.
Fair enough.
It's better than, it's way better, way better than Fizzy Yellow Beer, and it's not gonna hit your palate too much with anything crazy. It's kind of like dipping your toe into the IPA pool, so to speak.
I'm down with that. You know, I'm just perplexed why you would release a beer like this at this time of year.
Because nobody else is. They'll sell all the beer. I don't know.
No, I just think this would be a perfect beer for the warm weather, but. Just me. But hey, you know, it is old dog, new tricks, and they're branching out. And again, maybe that's part of, they're finally getting into hoppy beers. Maybe now they got to just tweak when they release some of these. But just a suggestion, not a, you know, hey. Like you said, it's a very pleasant, easy-to-drink beer.
Yeah, especially too, you certainly. Know, the big game's coming up. You know, the name of the game that we can't say because it's apparently copyrighted. If you're going to
it's not the Super Bowl.
Yes, there you go. you can bring this to the you can bring this to your party, and the host won't be pissed off if he gets stuck with a few of these after the party.
You'd have to drink an awful lot of these to be in the Super Bowl.
Well, but sometimes that's the point, though. When you're
credit
when
you're to the out, brewer, though,
you,
yeah.
You don't necessarily want to get tanked.
Absolutely,
and you're going to be out for a whole bunch of hours. Then maybe it is in your best interest to go with a lower ABV.
Well, super sessionable at 5.5.
Yeah, Ripper
was 5.7. I think that had more flavor than this. But like you said, this would be a great stepping stone. For, you know, those Bud Light drinkers that may have never tried, you know, something a little bit more adventurous.
You know, and if you're a craft beer guy, you want to bring something to the party that's going to please everybody, all right? Not everybody likes your bourbon barrel aged stout, you know, or things like that, or your double IPAs, all right? You know, I saw one, guys, we have to try it on the show. If you ever heard of the band Clutch, they partnered up with New Belgium, and they have released a sour stout. I'm not shitting you guys.
My buddy, we got to try it.
My buddy had a bottle, and he put it in the fridge for the week 18, as I like to call it, happened last week. And we were going to drink it, and it just never got popped open. But I was like, ooh, the beer nuts. We got to try this. But, sorry, straying off. But, yes, this would be something you bring to a party. You want to please the crowd. You could bring some Hopscape, and everyone will enjoy it.
Well, speaking of week 18, I got to give a rest in peace to the Detroit Loins. I mean, Lions.
I mean, why you got to bring it up?
But I brought it up. Couldn't do it, man. I really hope they I think the injury to Stafford's finger killed him, but
they're not ready. They're not ready. Who else? John, I mean, we're talking football. Who?
Well, hey, you know what? You know what?
No, let's suck beer, guys. Yeah, exactly.
You guys made the playoffs.
Guys, come on, man.
Doug's got a great beer on deck, and we're trying to talk football.
We already have 10 minutes of football on the show. So,
all right. Well, it's on you, Dugout. Doug's a Bears fan. Right. He don't want to talk football.
No, it's not that. I mean, I'm literally tired, man.
I hear you. I understand.
It's just going on and on, and I've got to kind of wrap my own stuff up. And
the floor is yours, sir.
All right. So the beer I have is it's not a stepping stone beer. It's it's not for the faint of heart either. And talk about truly old dog. This beer is from Belgium, and it's called Perrot. Now, this is not brand new. This has been out for a couple of years, but I thought this was a great way to showcase how this just isn't with American breweries, but with European breweries as well. And this caused a bit of controversy when it first came out because, hey, what do you do and mess with a recipe? But it's not like they stopped making their original Perrot and replaced it with this. So this is called Perrot Triple Hop. It's a dry hopped ale. It's coming in at a whopping 10.7%. I don't see an IBU listed here, this is off the website. It says Perrot Triple Hop is a balanced, complex brew with defined hop character. Breweries van Stiegberg use the famous Perrot Ale as the base, providing the brew with a full-bodied fruity flavor from the malt blended with dry characteristics derived from high levels of alcohol. Then four different hops are added into the brew three times during the brewing process, hence the triple hop. These hops are Saaz, Tetra, and Aurora two different times in the brew house, and then they use Cascade to dry hop. So all makes for a really interesting sounding beer. So when I pour this thing, it's true to form with the Belgian head. It's comes up really high and then just stands up there, just daring you to kind of sip off the top of it. It's a really nice kind of hazy golden color. A little bit of copper tinge to it. With the large head, we get the aroma on the smell. You do get some booze, that's for sure. And you get some malt. It's kind of a sweet type of bit of honey, bread, right around those lines. And, the taste is big and sweet. It's kind of like honey and almost syrupy, but then you get this, you get kind of the burn of the booze on that first sip, and future sips will sort of dissipate once, but it's, you know, it's definitely got the big alcohol burn going on. But it's got a beautiful, dry, crisp finish with the Cascade hops. It's a lot of complexity here. And when I first opened this when we started the show and I took a little sip out of it, it's completely changed as it's warm. So this is definitely not something that you want to be drinking like kind of icebox cold. You want this to sort of warm up and let it come out a little bit. JR, have you had this one before?
Yes, I have. It's been like a year, about a year, though. I remember I enjoyed it very much.
Yeah, it's they sell it by the single bottle. This one 11.2-ounce bottle was $5. But, you know, when you think about that, we've waited in line for some brewery releases and paid more money for a 12-ounce bottle for less of an ABV beer. And this, in my opinion, is outstanding. I really, really enjoy this beer.
Well, yeah, the regular Pirate is also excellent. And there's one that comes to mind that I had about a month ago at Hopcat. I was at Hopcat with my friend Mark Lane, and we had a... They had on tap a rum barrel-aged Pirate, which I had to try, and especially since I wasn't driving. So it was fantastic, and I actually was in Wine Palace in Livonia the other day and saw several bottles on the shelf, and it was about, I think, $14.99 for a $7.50, so I picked one up. So perhaps next time we're together, we can all drink that and share it. It's a truly one-of-a-kind beer that I had at Hopcat, and when I saw a bottle of it, I had to buy it. So that's a great, great iconic brewery from Belgium. My other favorite one along the same lines is Duvel. They also make a great Belgian triple. But yeah, that triple hop Pirate, I have had that before. That's a winner.
Yeah, it's interesting that the dry hop is Cascade. I don't know, is that just sort of a push towards an Americanized version of a Belgian beer? It's just kind of curious that they would pick that single hop to do the dry hopping with. I've dry hopped with Cascade, and it makes for a good beer. It makes for a great hoppy finish.
Well, a perfect beer for the topic tonight, because, you know, teaching an old dog new tricks, you know, it's probably pronounced Pirat, not Pirate, but Pirat.
Pirat, yes. Time. Yep,
been around a long time, and here they are triple hopping with Cascade hops. You know, you would never think a Belgian brewery would do that, but that's a sign of the times. You know, everybody's getting out there and getting creative and trying new things. And as I said earlier, we're the beneficiaries. We get to try a lot of these. I'm sure there's probably been some duds that they never came to market, but you know what? If they're doing a great job of innovating and finding stuff that they think people will like and putting it on the market. So thanks for sharing that one. That sounds like I can't wait to go out and buy one. And I hope that we all drink that rum barrel one.
I've been seeing a few of them around. And when I was kind of doing a little bit of R&D for this episode, that one has really struck me. And I thought, wow, that's cool. I mean, it's not just American craft that is doing this. It's global.
Play a tip of the hat to you for thinking of this theme for this episode.
Well, and there's so many we could have done. I mean, New Belgian has a whole retooling of their almost all their India Pale Ales with a Voodoo Ranger logo. And I've seen three or four different kinds of Voodoo Rangers right now out in the market. You know, we had reviewed Bell's Oatsmobile before, and you know, session beers in general. You know, what brewery doesn't have a session beer out in the market now?
No, there's some great things happening, and it's good to see. Yeah, you're right. If New Belgium just stuck with Fat Tire forever, you know, they would probably not be around too much longer. But they're taking the bull by the horns and innovating. And, you know, delivering beers that the market is looking for. So, kudos.
Well, and it's interesting you have these different strategies. You have, like, Stone dropping stuff and then coming up with a whole new beer. And then on the flip side, you know, a beer like Mad Hatter from New Holland Brewing, which I'm sure a lot of people will be seeing more of this beer now that they've hooked up with Pabst. But Mad Hatter completely reformulated. Nothing was ever put on the bottle. It was just some information that I got when I was sitting at the brewery. And then a little bit of a buzz started coming around the internet. Otherwise, nobody would really know.
Oh, that's what we're here for, to spread the gospel.
Yeah, well, let's say this episode taught me that there are some things that I've been walking by that, hey, they're worth stopping and looking and maybe picking up a six pack. And hopefully we did that for a few beers tonight. That we let you know that, hey, just because they've come from a brewery you've heard of before, doesn't mean that they're not making a good beer or two.
Amen.
All right. With that being said, I think this is a part where we start wrapping it up. Thanks to everybody who is listening and downloading. Every month, man, every month is better than the last month. So that means you like it, you're listening, you're telling people. You are following us at Beer Nuts Podcast on Twitter, at Beer Nuts Podcast on Instagram. You can email the show. Oh, man, I want to say it's beernutspodcast@christophermedia.net. Let me double check that real quick. I don't want you to send email to the wrong...
Oh, you can dub it in later.
Yeah, that's true. Yes, it is beernutspodcast@christophermedia.net if you'd like to email the show. Thanks for all of the love. Oh, we're streaming now. We have a Christopher Media streaming station. You can get it so far Shoutcast. You can get it on TuneIn. It's on a whole bunch of other things. It's not so much live, but the three newest episodes in the feed... you can we've noticed we've been getting a lot of desktop hits off of that, so maybe those of you who don't have access to podcasts or don't know what they are, or you just want to just put on something and leave it on and you want to listen to everything, you can go to christophermedia.net and check out our streaming station as well. But until then, JR, believe it's time for us to go to Mexico, sir.
Well, as they say in old Mexico City,
AMF.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net.